What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's show. I've got Jason Wojo of Wojo Media. He is the 26-year-old self-made millionaire that you're probably seeing all over social media right now. He is somebody that is working with pretty much every big name influencer and business owner right now that is running and marketing and spending money on ads. And you're going to see why in today's episode. Jason is full of energy, expertise. The dude knows exactly what he's talking about, extremely wise and extremely experienced. And over the past 6 years, he has been on a mission to help business owners hit 6, 7, and 8 figures in revenue from paid ad traffic. He is an expert when it comes to increasing higher advertising return on ad spend to help people scale their top line revenue without having to keep hiring new marketing teams and having to only depend on organic to fuel their growth. And we really talk a lot about how important it is to be spending money marketing, how to develop an irresistible offer, how to create high ticket and low ticket sales, how to convert ads, the front end, the back end, who should be spending money on ads, how much you should be spending money on ads. This dude has helped over 1,300 business owners generate hundreds of millions of dollars in paid traffic results, and you're going to see why. And I know today we dug into some really great tactical stuff that should serve you guys, and no matter what business, industry, or space that you're in. So if you enjoyed today's show, all we ask, leave a review, share it with a friend, a family member, somebody that you know can get some value out of it. And of course, don't forget to check out all the great stuff we have for you guys at millionairemindcast.com. With that being said, let's not waste any more time. Let's dig into today's episode with Jason Wojo.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started. Jason Wojo, what's up, brother?
What's good, man? How you doing?
You know, I'm just trying to figure out the secret sauce and scale and advertising and all the great shit that you got going on. So I know we'll be digging into that today. I was curious on where did Wojo Media and kind of this whole idea of building a media company out start?
So I was in culinary school when I first decided to go to school because I didn't have much self-awareness to know what I wanted to do. And I was working at a cafe when I was a kid, and my boss was like, hey, you should just go to culinary school because you know how to cook somewhat. And I was like, all right, like, I guess I'll go. And dude, I realized that I hated it. Like doing these 6-hour labs in school and doing all this like homework and stuff and like demo labs, it was just very tiring for me. And then I decided, it was really snowy one day, upstate New York. And I grabbed the shovel. I'm like getting my Ford Focus out of the snow because I wanted to go up and go to the cafe to get lunch. And I found these Pokemon cards in my back trunk. And like I took them back up to my room and I realized, like, dude, these cards had a lot of value. So I start flipping them on eBay. I started learning like shipping labels, all this stuff, dude, going to the post office, like cost of shipping, what I should be charging, all this jazz. And I started flipping the cards and like, I was making like maybe $800 like a month, which to a college kid's a lot. I know it's not a lot to people listening, but like for a kid that was living off $100 a month off some money that his mom would slip me, like $800 a month was a lot. So I was able to like party a lot harder because I was having fun in college. And then also there was an app back then called Yik Yak. People don't know what that is. It's like a very local app where you can like post things locally and people will message you within a 5 mile radius. So there was a big hill in SUNY Delhi, upstate New York. And like people used to run up there to go to the parties. And I was like, oh, like, dude, I'll just drive people up and down the hill because no one wants to walk up this hill. So then I was on Yik Yak and I was like, hey, I'm taking people up and down the hill, $2 a head, $5 a head. I was testing out like, what would people pay? And dude, I would go up and down the hill all night and I would make $200 a weekend just going up and down the hill, just like taking a bunch of drunk people down and taking a bunch of sober people up. And it was like just a loop. And that was another side hustle that I had at the time. And I realized like I was better selling than being in the kitchen. So I quit culinary school. It was really upsetting, dude, because I liked SUNY Delhi. It was a great school, but they didn't have a business program. So I wind up going back home. And I went to Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh, New York. And that's where I was. That's where my parents lived. And I was going to business school. You know, I was doing the Pokemon stuff still. I had 3 jobs on the side. I was playing college tennis. Dude, I was swamped. I was so busy. And one day I was at my life insurance job. I was just an assistant. I wasn't selling life insurance, but I was on like YouTube because I was bored, dude. The guy had me do nothing. I just sat there for 4 hours a day and did nothing.
Yep.
So I was on YouTube and I found Ty Lopez's ad for the SMMA. I bought it. It was like $9.97. Dude, that was a lot of money to me at the time, $9.97. Damn. I was so scared. Like I was shaking with my card. It was crazy. And I started taking the course and I was doing like barbershops and local restaurants charging $175 a month to $300 a month, like small social media management packages. And then, dude, I started getting a couple clients and I got to like $3,000 a month in income with my jobs and SMMA. So maybe the SMMA was doing like $1,500 a month and then my jobs were doing about maybe $750-ish to $1,250 a month, depending on how much I worked. And dude, I saved money for 12 months, stacked some cash. And then my dad was like, yo, you're about to end school. You got to move out. And I was like, all right, like, what do you want me to do? He's like, you could pay us $600 a month or you can just get the hell out. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm leaving because I don't want to pay you $600. Like, you're my dad. That's fucked up. So I wind up going on Facebook Marketplace and I found a room in a college house. And I was like scrolling and I was like, yo, there's palm trees. There's no palm trees in New York. What the hell am I doing? So I'm in an Orlando search. And like, I saw that and I was like, dude, it's so warm there. The women are gorgeous. I'm just going to freaking move to Florida. And my dad was like, oh, dude, you're going to like take that beat up Ford Focus all the way down to, you know, Florida. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to do it. So, dude, I messaged the guy on Facebook. His name is Steven. And he's like, yeah, I need to do a background check, all this stuff. I'm like, nah, dude, my dad's about to change the locks tomorrow. Like, I gotta get the hell out now. And he was like, all right, like shoot me a FaceTime. Like, I want to see you're not like, a weirdo or nothing. So like he FaceTimes me, he checked out my Instagram. He's like, all right, like you're cool. Just Venmo me, you know, $750 and you can come. I was like, fuck it. So I Venmo him $750 and I drove the next morning 15 hours, went to Orlando. And then, dude, I get there. And there's no bed frame on the bed. There's no desk. All this shit. It's just bare bones room. And I was like, damn, dude, I moved so quick. I didn't even realize that I need to actually like have shit in my room. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know what being an adult was, dude. It was so hilarious. And like, I didn't know how, like, I knew how to cook, but like, I was so lazy to cook. I hated it. That's why I left that school in the first place. And that's when I started like doing cold outreach nearby. Like I was sleeping on the floor on an air mattress, didn't have a bed frame. So, you know, they had dogs there. And like, dude, the one thing that kind of sucked was the dogs were cute, but all the hairs. So like I was sleeping, dude, on the floor and all the dog hairs are like all over my shit. So it was really gross. I'm not going to lie. So I wind up cleaning up my act, you know, grab a bed frame from the shit, from the garage. I built it. And then I'm calling local businesses off Yelp. I start doing a free website offer. I got some clients through that. Then wind up paying me for ads. And then I was at like maybe like $4,000 a month in income. And then from there, dude, that's just where like I really started snowballing, like getting clients better results, building better relationships, charging more. And then I found a mortgage lender client who paid me $7,000 a month. Dude, the craziest story ever how I landed that shit. But I went on a Zoom call with mortgage lenders. And this guy, Jason Graninum, hit me up one day. He's like, yo, man, I know you do SEO and paid ads. Come on one of my live Zooms one night. And I have a bunch of mortgage lenders who drink wine and talk shit about the market. And I was like, okay, like, this is weird. But dude, I was like, oh, publicity, cool. Yeah. So I hop on the Zoom and there's this girl in there. Her name's Jennifer Beeston. And she had no camera on. I guess like her camera broke or something. She's like, oh, like, you know, I'm just not going to show my face. My camera broke. Like something with her dog, whatever. So I'm talking about SEO and YouTube and all this stuff. And I get a message in the Zoom chat thing. And it says like, hey, call me in the morning. You're cute. I'll hire you. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? So in the morning, I call her. And she's like, yeah. I'm on a call. Give me 5 minutes. I'll call you back. And I'm calling her for an hour straight, dude. I was hungry. Like I just dialed the phones. She gets me on the phone. She's like, hey, I need all this shit done. What are you going to charge me? And I was like, Jesus, that was fast. I was like, yeah, we'll do $750 a month. And she's like, that's dog shit. I'm not paying you that. It means it's not valuable. And I was like, what do you mean it's not valuable? Like, dude, I had such a money block. It was so bad. So she's like, I'm going to go make my breakfast. Like, I'm going to come back and you got to give me something better than that. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. So I'm like $1,500 a month. She's like, no, it's not valuable. Like, there's just no way that you're going to do a good job. And I was like, what the hell is this chick talking about? So then I told her $5,000 a month. I was bold. I was like, $5,000 a month. I'll be full time. She's like, no, you don't need to be full time. Throw this in and I'll give you $7,000 a month. I'm like, what the hell did she just say? And she's like, okay, I have my card ready. Like, when are you ready? I was like, when am I ready for what? She's like, I have an Amex card. You're going to take my fucking card number? And I was like, holy shit, she's actually paying. So then like, dude, I'm like freaking out. I'm shaking. And that's how I hit $10,000 a month. And like, then from there, dude, it really just catapulted because like I was more confident. I was able to like go out and close more. And dude, that's really how it spiraled.
I love that. I love how there's always like that one deal that kind of is the catalyst that sparks it all, right? And then obviously there's a lot of growing pains, a lot of failing forward moments. When was it that you really started to build out a business instead of just working for yourself?
Yeah, I think it was when I was too bottlenecked on the phones. Like when I started booking a lot of sales calls, I couldn't like, I mean, I was giving them good results, but I was staying up till endless hours of the night, till 10 o'clock at night, because I was taking sales calls from 9 a.m. to 4. And then I was fulfilling from 5 p.m. to 8 while trying to eat dinner, while trying to stay healthy, while trying to have relationships, while trying to do things that a guy would do from 19 years old to 23, like just trying to have fun and do shit. Like I was so exhausted and I was like, yo, I need to get a team. This is insane. So I found one of my friends, Dave Hernandez, who lived in Tampa at the time, and he would come over to the house. Dude, at the time, man, I was making $10,000 a month, but like I had bills. So like I was only able to pay Dave like $1,200 a month. Like I felt bad because like, dude, I just didn't have much money. Like I needed to run ads then. I started running ads when I was making $10,000 a month because I had money. And like I had him come over. We would work on low ticket funnels and all this stuff. And I was like, it was cool. But I didn't have a sales team still because I wasn't paying him enough to do sales. So that's where I really had to take a step back and say, okay, we need to charge more so I can afford A plus people. And that's really where things really transitioned, was like when I knew I couldn't be on the phones all day and I knew that I had to pay people more to commit fully to what I was doing. And that was the switch for me. Like that's where when we hit like $30,000 a month, dude, I had to hire people. Like it was a shit show. Like that's the number for me. It depends on the business model, but like that was the number for running an agency for me where I was like, yo, I got to replace myself. This is not just too much work.
Yeah. It's funny how many people are the bottleneck in their own growth. And you talked about some money blocks. Like I think that's a big thing for small business owners.
Yeah.
And I think there's a quote on your Instagram that talks about like,
everyone's an entrepreneur until the invoice comes.
Until they get the invoice.
People love that shit, by the way.
It's great.
Dude, such a good quote. And like, it's funny you bring that up about the money blocks because with the events that we run, like, dude, this is the crazy thing about people. We run an offer at the event where it's a 6-month program. It's $15,600. If you don't get an ROI, you get a full refund and $5,000 on top. Crazy thing is, dude, 80% of the room doesn't buy it because they don't believe in themselves because they're so money blocked. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody with a brain cell would buy that. But like these people still don't buy it because they don't believe in themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, when you like you proved a very good point, like, dude, money blocks are so real and people don't want to admit it because they sit there all day like, oh, I want to make money. Or, I deserve money. I'm like, dude, one thing that one of my mentors always said to me is like the way that you buy is the way that you sell. So if you can't buy other people's shit, no wonder why no one's buying your stuff.
Right.
Because you don't understand the behavior. You're money blocked by your own growth because you don't know what it feels like to make money or spend it. So it's like, it's crazy.
It really is. And I have found too that the most, even a lot of successful people who reach a certain level of success, they cap out because of those money blocks. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, every business model is different. You know, everybody's goals based on their business are different. But at the end of the day, what I do know is the most successful businesses, the consistently growing businesses, are the ones who are spending money on advertising, on marketing, on sales. And that can't be done at scale by just one person. You and I both know we only have 24 hours in a day, right? So if you're going to scale into something significant, impactful, you know, meaningful, it's going to be through leverage, other people, quality systems. And I see that that plaque over your shoulder, which, you know, most people, right, only get that unless they've spent a significant amount of money, which I know you have on advertising, hundreds of millions of dollars. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about some of the businesses, the offers. You talked about low ticket, high ticket. Maybe you could explain, like, who do you work with and who needs your services and why?
Yeah, so this was mostly from high ticket to low ticket. Then I also have another one too. I have two.
There we go.
And then this is crazy. I'm $200,000 away from the 10 million one. And it's going to happen this month. But like, I'm just like, that's going to be cool as shit to have up there. So like I work with service business owners, high ticket, low ticket, anybody who's a coach, consultant, service provider, or e-com store.
Yeah.
So like, it is pretty broad, but they have to have like, for me to work with somebody, they have to have good sales. Okay. Like at least a decent structure. Yes. You're not going to have a perfect sales team. I get that. But like at least have a decent structure to where you know your show rates and closing rates and you know your offers. You have good product knowledge and you have a good sales journey. If you're e-com, you better have data. You better have an email list and you better be running ads on at least multiple traffic sources to where you're omnipresent. So like that's where we most come into businesses and help them. Now, if they're like a coach or consultant, the biggest lever for us to pull is how do we get more front-end traffic for you to sell more, which is all low-ticket digital products? Like $7, $17, $27. That's what a lot of people have been seeing from me recently is like, I have a low-ticket starter kit that we run. And it's a $27 product. It teaches people how to run their own low-ticket funnels. And dude, it's taken over the internet. Like, I mean, you're a person.
Oh, I've seen your shit everywhere. And it was right before we got on, one of my guys on my team was in here and I was like, hey, dude, I hate to cut you short, but I got a podcast with Jason Wojo here. And he's like, Wojo Media? I was just on with his sales guy, Usama, because we're running ads and we're always looking for ways to optimize, scale, get better, right? And so it was cool that you were coming on here, right? But that is, you know, an important and critical component for every business is to continue to optimize, to improve, and ultimately to keep reinvesting. And you said a key word that I think is so important that you're obviously not just the messenger, you're living your message, which is omnipresence. Like I've been seeing your shit everywhere. Man, and most businesses, right, they're not even recognized locally, let alone regionally or statewide or nationwide. So talk a little bit about maybe how you're leveraging low ticket offers and advertising to create that omnipresence. Yeah. And also how do people justify the investment in terms of what ROI they can expect?
Yeah. So like the ways that I look at omnipresence is like, what's something sexy in the front end that's irresistible that if they take leads them to your high ticket or getting on a call or being at an event, right? So for us, it's low ticket digital products. So I have them buy something that gets them financially committed. Dude, I can't tell you enough how many people run ads to lead magnets and expect them to make money. Like, I get that lead magnets are cool, but like, no one gives a shit. So it's free. Like, no one cares. So they get it in their inbox. It gets buried in their email. They never open it. 99% of them don't do shit with it. So it's like, that's a no-no. So what I do is I'm like, hey, let's get your audience to self-liquidate your ad spend. Let's say you spend $500 a day in ad spend or $1,000 a day. What if I got you 30 people a day who spent $27 on something and a couple of upsells? You're going to self-liquidate, means you break even, and yep, you get them on your list. I don't want freebie seekers on my email list. I want buyers.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of it. So like the way that we run a low ticket starter kit is we spend maybe about like, I think we spend about $11,000 a day. It just give or takes, like it's between $9,000 and $11,000 a day. And that funnel will break even every single day. And then I'm getting 20 sales calls, 30 sales calls qualified for free, high show rates, and I can efficiently scale.
Yeah.
And like, that's the biggest thing that we've been able to do with the low ticket. And like, also I take those low ticket buyers and we retarget them with event ads. Like, yo, you bought my shit, come to an event, because it's an ecosystem. Like, or they come to an event and the event's in 3 weeks, buy a low ticket before you come to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to the event, you sign up for the event or buy a low ticket, then you're getting ads for, okay, book a call and spend more money. And that's really what I'm doing with Omnipresence. Now, when you say you're seeing my stuff all over, it's not just the amount that I'm spending, but it's on the platforms. And we're doing a TikTok like mass strategy with videos. And like, we just hired 43 video editors and we bought TikTok accounts for them. And they're posting and they're getting views. And in the bio is a different link to my low ticket products. So like, I'm now funneling, like we're getting about 300,000 views a day. Just depends. But all those views, they go to link in bio, they click, then they go buy. And dude, like it cost me $7 a day to run each TikTok account because we pay the editor $7 a day. And then they get incentivized on views. But they only make $200 a month, don't worry. They're getting incentivized on views too. Yeah. Like if a video gets 100K views, they're getting $75. It just depends. So like those videos leverage all of the traffic. And like that's what's allowing us to efficiently have that omnipresence. Like, when I wasn't running a lot of ad spend and I wasn't doing organic pushes, nobody would notice me in public. Dude, I get noticed in public a lot now. They're like, oh shit, I've seen your TikTok thing. Or like, oh, I've seen this. And I'm like, oh shit, dude, cool. Like, that's sick. Yeah. And that's when you start to see the snowball effect.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, that's honestly the game, is you got to have a self-liquidating funnel so you can spend more money. You get more credit card points. You get more qualified leads. You get more people on your list that are buyers, and then you are able to sell more on the back end. It just makes more money.
Yeah. Well, I'll be completely honest. I mean, I get a dozen people that reach out every day to have their client on my podcast and this and that. You and I wouldn't be talking right now if it wasn't for, and I haven't even bought anything from you yet, but I've seen a shitload of your stuff. And therefore, there's already this level of trust and authority that came with you when your name popped into my inbox from your PR person.
Yeah.
And that's just one component of, right, just awareness. Now you talk about getting people's, you know, actual permission to market to them, bring value to them. And you know, I have seen it on your content before as well. And I'm a big believer in this as well, is, you know, lifetime value of a customer. It's not just what can you get from them today, mm-hmm, right? But owning that individual in your ecosystem. There's so many other ways to monetize and generate ROI just off of that one individual once you get them in your world.
Yeah, dude. It's like when you're scaling too, like what people don't realize is like, yeah, your ad spend and your profit matters. I get that, right? We don't throw just money away, but there's a lot of relationships that have intrinsically led to crazy amounts of money on the back end for us. Yeah. Like, dude, like I spent a lot of money on PR and like all these ads and all this stuff, but like, dude, some of the things that don't have intrinsic money-based value make more money. Like me spending money to get on podcasts, or me spending money to be in PR articles, or me trying to get into like a Forbes event, or all this stuff. Like, dude, those things are valuable, but don't have exact ROIs to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, that's an ecosystem piece too. So like I was on a podcast with Chris Krohn, and a lot of people started asking me about that podcast because they saw that, and he keeps posting me on his page because all the videos get more views. So like when I got on that podcast, he was like, yo, dude, run my event ads. I'll give you equity. So I got equity in that. And then now he's like bolting all of his content agency clients to us. So dude, that's a deal that's worked. Dude, that's a $5 million relationship at least.
Yeah.
So it's like that had no ad spend. it was just a podcast. And I didn't even pay for that podcast. I flew out. I spent $500 on a flight and $500 on an Airbnb. And that's a relationship that I'll never lose. And it's like a lot of people are afraid to spend money on small things that don't have intrinsic value.
Yeah.
Like it's all money blocks. It's all belief system shit. It's just like you don't realize how many connections you are away. And like I was talking about before the show, it's like all the relationships that I'm building with these people, like I'm about to go to Arizona tomorrow. Andy Elliott wants to hang out. Like all these things that I'm doing are not intrinsically number-based. They are relationship-based to the point where I want to be the person where you're thinking about ads and you're out at dinner with somebody. And they're like, yo, who should run your ads? Fucking work with Wojo. Like that's where I'm trying to get at is the household name piece. And that's all I care about this year. I'm like, yo, I just want to be the person that people come to and just literally beg to work with me. That's all I want to do.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun-to-use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal, and it shows that they stand behind their product. Now, to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
Well, I love that you're investing very specifically in that, right? And you're very clear on ideally what the outcome is going to be by making those investments. And to me, what it feels like is, you know, you're doubling down in a very big way on community or just relationships. Like, talk to me about your perspective on, and this could be your perspective and how it translates to other business owners or people who might be following a similar path that you are, which is like, how important is community and relationships in today's world when it comes to marketing, sales, conversion, ROI?
Yeah, dude. I mean, the biggest thing that we've seen from community is that if nobody likes you or wants to be a part of your mission or statement, like, you're never going to have people vouch for you. And that's the only thing that I valued with community. It was like, yo, are people going to vouch for me? Because if they vouch for me, I'll vouch for you.
Yeah.
And that's that, like, that's that mutual relationship that you build with people where you just know. Like, some relationships you get into, it's like one-sided shit. But when you have a community, it's like, oh yeah, I respect you. You know what my value is. Like, we're on the same page. And that's all I took from that was like, if I don't have a community, then no one's going to stand up for me because I can't fight the world on my own. So like, I have to build a community for people to fight for me. It's better to have an army than be on your own.
Yep. Now, going and shifting gears maybe to a little bit more tactical, we got a lot of business owners, a lot of investors, a lot of people that have brands that are, you know, looking to scale. And I know a lot of people are really scared to get that start in spending ads because they don't understand it. So maybe like talk real quick to those people that got a good product, good service, good brand or reputation. Like, where should they start? And then maybe we can also lead into maybe more of the, you know, how do you scale to 100K a month in ROI, and what are that, what is that kind of ideal roadmap and stepping stones look like? But what do you say to the person in the beginning, right, that should be spending money on advertising and sales and they're not?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I say to people is like, you could spend money and say it doesn't work, but there's other people out there who run ads and it works. And why is that? It's because number one is they understand their avatar and they know their messaging. Those two things combined will make you have what we call an irresistible offer. So like, if you don't have a good offer, that's why your ads aren't working, because no one cares about what you do. And even if you're not running ads right now, why are you not telling more people about what you do? So you say you want to make more money, but then you don't want to spend money on ads. It's basically like you're a hypocrite to your own business. Like, we get on the phone with a lot of people, dude, and they're like, oh, how do I know this is going to work? Dude, we don't know. But we have a better shot if you know your avatar, your messaging, and you believe in your product, and you have product knowledge, and you have competitor research, and you think it through, right? People get emotionally wrapped into spending money into a blue ocean of things that might not work or might work. But dude, it's better to try than to not try at all. So like, yeah, you have a cool offer. Okay, what's next? You have this sexy offer, but like the way you package it is what dictates the back end. So what's your high ticket offer? What's your customer journey? Like, what are your touch points? What are the emotions and pain points of the avatar? Because there's one thing that people don't realize when they sell stuff through ads is when someone buys something, you actually want to create problems. So like they buy this thing, let's say it's, let's say they buy a low ticket starter kit like mine. Okay, so they buy a low ticket starter kit. What problem do I create? I don't want to do it all. Okay, pay me. I have the solution. I make you get more low ticket buyers. What's the next problem? You need help with your emails. There's my solution. Buy it. Okay. Then you have emails. What else do you need? Yo, Jason, we're scooping up buyers, but like I have no one to call all my leads. Okay, setter, pay me for that. We'll place a setter in your business. Hey, Wojo, another problem is that the setter is getting too many leads. My calendar's too booked and I can't scale. Okay, we'll find you a closer. Pay us. Like, dude, I'm just creating more problems for them to spend more money with me. So when you develop the front end offer, keep in mind what your customer journey looks like to get the most dollars out of every customer. As long as it's valuable, don't just sell people shit they don't need, but like give them valuable things that create problems because you're the solution that they're going to buy from. So also the other side of your question is like, where do you want to take the business?
Yeah.
You might be making, let's say a business owner on here that's listening is making 50K a month organically. I'm going to be really honest. That's not a lot of money. I know that might be a bold statement. It's really not. It's honestly pennies. You're making 50 grand a month. You can scale it to 500K a month predictably and consistently and build a good team culture and environment to bring in more leads. Like the reason why you don't want to run ads is because no one wants to work with you. I know that's really fucked up to say, but like you don't want to run ads because you have no one behind you who actually enjoys working with you to be a part of the mission because you're not someone who people are attracted to. Like that comes into the whole leader aspect. There's a lot of people who don't run ads because they're like, hey, I don't run ads because if I get too many leads, I need to find a closer and I can't pay people enough because your culture sucks, your model sucks, and your KPIs are trash. So we have to solve that first and then you can predictably hire people. Like, dude, we have a whole interview system in our business. We have a whole hiring funnel. For every 90 interviews, we hire one person. How am I able to do that? Because I'm not just going to hire somebody to hire them. We hire them based on three interviews, culture, skill sets, and feedback. And then they're hired. And we're going to pay people what they're worth. But like, they want to be a part of what I'm doing because I'm running ads. They see my shit online. They see the events. They know people in my circle. And they're like, dude, this man is doing shit that I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
When you're not running ads, no one knows who you are. So you can't attract and hire the right people. That's a huge thing I see, dude, is even if they're making 25K a month, 50K a month, you did it on your own. Cool. But like, no one's going to go all in on you when you're the, you know, esoteric, egotistical person that did it on their own. Now you have an ego that's wrapped into hiring and you can't build a good environment for people to grow because you, as a solopreneur, are used to making all the money.
Yep.
Oh, I profit this, I profit that. As soon as somebody comes into the business that wants $7,000 a month and healthcare, you freak out. You're like, oh shit, no, like that's $7,000 a month. I want a car. I want a nicer apartment. You're selfish. And then you want to run ads and that preconceived notion then comes into that bit, like that buying decision. I think it's a lot of things that stem from being a solopreneur and enjoying the complacency of all the profit.
Yeah, that's a, it's a great way. I mean, most people don't have what it takes or even want to be a true business owner, even though they say it, because that comes with a lot of accountability and responsibility of not being the center of attention and also being a steward and responsible for other people's success, for creating culture, for consistently adding value. And most people are just lazy. They just want enough freedom not to have to work for somebody else, but they don't want to create something bigger than themselves.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's like, if you're not going to want to scale the business, then like, don't run a business, because then you're limiting just not the belief of yourself, but like the people around you who might be interested in being a part of it. Or like, yeah, like you didn't start a business just to start it. You started because you want to make money. So why are you like, dude, the people who tell me I started because I'm passionate, I can't stand it. Dude, you did not start a business because you're passionate. That's just complete bullshit. So you started because you wanted to make money. You hated corporate, or you hated some type of authority. You wanted to be your own authority.
Yeah.
So dude, a big part of having authority is not having an ego crash and giving up a little bit to other people. Like, you can't selfishly be the richest person in the room, because word's going to get around that you're not a great person and people are going to stop buying from you. And dude, it's just crazy to me. It's like, when I see people too who are like, oh, I don't want to run ads because it didn't work for me in the past, or I ran with an agency. I'm like, dude, okay, here's the problem. The reason why it didn't work with an agency is because two things. One is that you expected the agency to do everything for you. You expected them to hold your hand and put your underwear on for you. That's not how it works. Number two is that the agency didn't work out because they don't know shit about your business just yet. You need to build a relationship with people. The same way you hire a new office girl or a new salesperson or something like this, like, you need to give the shit time. People just don't build relationships and they have no patience. They expect a new agency to come in 30 days, make them fucking rich. I mean, dude, like, it's happened, but the odds are very low.
Yeah.
So like, that's a passionate topic that I like talking about, because we have clients who are making 200K a month, 300K a month. They come in and they're like, oh, we're not at a mil a month yet. I'm like, are you fucking serious, dude? Like, you have to relax. I can't just pump your traffic that fast. You don't have the fulfillment. Like, dude, you don't have the audacity to tell me to do something when you don't even have your own shit in play yet. Like, it's crazy. The impatience in business owners is insane, because the whole frame with the agency space is like, oh, we pay you monthly, you better get us our money back. Okay. You hired an office girl for $4,000 a month. She don't bring you no ROI. What does she do? She just answers the phone and takes fucking pencil notes. Okay. But you're paying me $4,000 a month and you're mad about an ROI. Ad spend's tax deductible too.
Yep.
So what are you complaining about? Dude, it's crazy. And these are the rants that I like. But like, dude, the agency space is all bottled up in impatient people paying people who want to be patient to try to get long-term results that are not instant. Basically, it's a shit show. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. 50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Why are you guys succeeding at such a high level?
I think it's mostly because of the way that we pre-frame clients. Also,
you guys set the table properly and you set expectations.
Well, it's my brand. Like, people know how I am on camera because sometimes I make videos that are bold. I curse a lot. Like, that's just part of it. Like, don't bother me kind of mentality. Because, dude, I think that people, like, in our world are so used to getting the word yes. They go to companies and they pay service providers and they're always getting told yes. Yes, you'll have it done by tomorrow. Yes, you'll do this. Yes, you do that. Yes, 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 yes. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, no. And they're like, what do you mean? No, I'm like, no, you stop being needy. You're not a child. You're a business owner. We'll get done when we get done. Fucking relax. Like, that's how I am. And it works well. Sometimes it pisses people off, but whatever, dude, I don't need your money. But it's like, I'm tired of people thinking that it's like these fast wins.
Yeah.
And then the funny part is that when they don't get fast results, then their angle is, oh, well, what's Jason doing? Jason's too busy selling at events and driving a McLaren around. Why is he not helping us out with our account? I'm like, bro, that's part of building a business.
Yeah.
Like, you expect me to touch every single account. It's not the way the world works. Or do you want to pay my private retainer? Oh, it's the price. Sick. Well, then stay there. Like, it just doesn't, it's crazy to me, dude, because the other thing that we do really well is we don't just run your ads. And that's why we have a competitive advantage. We have competitive pricing and we don't just run your traffic. We help with your offers. We do your sales process. We do your CRM automations, your SMS. We help you with sales team trainings weekly. We do a lot more shit as a bolt-on to where we're not just sitting there going, hey, we're running ads. Have a good day. Dude, we're replaceable.
Yeah.
The less hands I have in your business, the less money I make and the less time I keep you in my ecosystem.
Yep. It's a great point.
But like, dude, it's just also we are the most followed person. Like, there's not one other person in there that has a following like I do. Not one other person. Like, all those other guys, like, I can name names all day, but I have the most following for a media buyer. Like, you no do. One. Yeah, it's just insane, yeah. Dude. I'm just like, I want to control the space. But then there's people out there. I'm not going to name names, but there's somebody out there who's charging 10 grand a month, 15 grand a month. All those clients are coming to my ass and paying me my private retainer because they want to work with me and they're tired of him shipping them off to some person from India that doesn't know shit or has bad grammar. And they're just like, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And people are charging these big prices because agencies have smaller margins because of the services that they endure. You should not be running an agency if you're not confident in the result-driven promise that you're giving clients. And also, like, you have to set the tone. It's expectations.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny because we get people on the phone and we're like, hey, it takes us a month to get everything up and running and launched. They're like, a month? I'm like, dude, you are a lunatic. If you think that you're going to get a whole funnel, sales process, a sales journey, customer journey mapped, all the shit tracked, and traffic running at an optimal level to fill your whole sales team's calendar in a month, you're on drugs. It's just crazy, dude. There's a drive up KPI period. There's also KPI mishaps or holdups. Maybe the ad account's down. Maybe you can't shoot creatives one day because the weather's bad. Or maybe there's something bad that happens in your family. Like, dude, I don't know. It's life.
Yep.
Like, people just expect this quick overnight shit. And it's crazy. It's nuts.
Just to wrap up on maybe a couple tactical pieces of expectations, what is a minimum budget that people are like, hey, if you're not going to spend this, don't even think about spending money on ads?
It depends on platform. So, like, if you're going to run Facebook and IG, you got to be able to spend at least $50 a day. Like, Lord help. $50 a day there. YouTube, $100 a day. Google, $50 a day. TikTok, $50 a day. So if you want to run omnipresence, $300 a day easily.
Perfect. And then in terms of ramp up, how long somebody should be thinking in terms of, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to start running ads, you should never stop. That being said, what's the right mindset people should have when they're going into this in terms of timeline and energy and resources they should allocating?
Yeah. When you start first running ads, I usually look at it from a 30-day window of like, hey, here is what your campaigns look like in the last 30 days. Because here's the thing, right? If you're running $300 a day, you're sending enough traffic to your salespeople. right? And you're going to see who's the winners and who's the losers. Maybe it's not the ads, it's your salespeople that's the problem. What's your show rates? What's your close rate? Is your setter calling within 5 minutes? Like, what are the bottlenecks that are happening in your funnel? From there, then we decide, hey, do we keep the traffic here? Or do we scale it? Do we increase availability on these two closers and cut these two? Like, how do we optimize your actual funnel so that that ad spend gets a higher ROAS on the back end so we keep our job? Like, that's, those are the things that not a lot of agencies look at. They're just like, oh yeah, we're going to get you high quality leads because the calendar has questions. I'm like, no, you're an idiot. There's more that happens afterwards. Like, who's the best sales closer? What are the best times? When do your people usually buy? Like, is there a window that you can have just for people who need funding? Like, what is going on with your sales process to make it more dialed in? Also, do you have a low ticket offer? How do we self-liquidate? How do we build the list? What are we emailing people? Like, what is the best winning email? What's our open rates? What all, like, dude, all these things have to combine. So ramp up period, that could be 45 days, 60 days to where we're scaling spend. But at some point, it's going to break. It's going to break because this is what either happened. One is someone quits, usually the business owner, because they have 2 days in a row where no deals will close and they freak out. They're like, oh, we haven't closed a deal in 2 days. Turn down the ads. But I'm like, no, there's something called follow-up. Okay. You need to take the leads and follow up with them over X amount of days and you can close a couple deals. Like right now, dude, we're not running book call ads right now. We're only running low ticket and events. Why am I not running book calls? Because I just told all the sales guys, yo, we have 33,000 phone numbers that have bought shit from me. We're going to call them for the next month. Dude, the last 3 days, we've closed 60 grand with no ad spend.
Love it.
Just calling old leads, follow up. The problem is that you're not motivating your team enough, or you don't have the right culture to where they're motivated to do that because they think that those are dead leads because they talked to them. They were broke 3 weeks ago. They're not, they don't have money now. They have money. You just didn't sell them. So like, dude, it's just, I mean, the ramp up period is very variable based on model, based on fulfillment, based on leadership, based on spend and budget, and based on sales cycle, because different people's sales cycles are different lengths.
So I want to make sure people have an opportunity to connect with you guys and, you know, learn more about obviously the services. If you're not following Jason on Instagram, I think you're what, just shy of a million followers there. You got all kinds of other followers on every other platform. So where is the best place for them to reach out and link up with you guys?
Yeah. So they can go to at the Jason Wojo. That's my Instagram. And then the link in my bio is a page where you can see all our testimonials, case studies, proof, more about our services. And then you can book a demo call there.
Cool. Now, I would love to know what's your 5-year vision with where you're going to be at, the business is going to be at. Like, what are you building towards? I know you always have a vision, a strategy behind that, and obviously you're taking massive action towards it. So, where are we going to see you at in 5 years, bro?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're trying to, and within 5 years, I discussed this with Casey. Like, we want to be sitting at around 30, 40 million a year. We want to have a team of, you know, obviously A+ players, but have a higher revenue per employee. And then also we run one of the biggest events in the ad space. That's where I want to be in the next 5 years. Those are just the three biggest goals.
I love that. Now, talk a little bit about that real quick before we wrap up on how important is events? How important is getting people in person? Is that necessary for every business, for certain businesses? Is that an X factor or secret weapon that you guys are, you know, leaning in and ahead of the curve on? What's your outlook on that?
I think it's a secret weapon. It gives you a differentiation. It's not needed by all niches, but it's definitely a necessity if you want to go outside of just the money-making piece and you want to do more philanthropy, or you want to be, you know, more in the light of the industry. Like, if you want to be more in the know, then run events. But if you want to sit behind the scenes and make money, then don't run events. It's really just, or just go buy an event business and just have other people talk on your behalf. Yeah. It's really up to you. But the thing that we've seen with events is that we get higher lifetime value from events. We get more cash collected and our AOV is higher.
Yeah.
But it's a lot more work to run events. Yeah. So like taking a sales call is a Zoom start button. Running an event is like freaking 50 million things. So it just really depends on like what you want the headaches to be or how much money you really make it willing to make. What I will say is that if you're running ads, your ROAS will be higher on events. That's all I'm going to say. It just does.
Yeah. Well, I am a big believer in events, getting in person with people, pressing palms, you know, sharing in experiences together. It just creates a different dynamic and infuses a bond and kind of a sense of loyalty in a little bit.
if you're that likable person, if you're bringing value, if that event itself, right, is a positive experience, it can be, like you said, that secret weapon that separates you from everybody else in the marketplace. Where are you investing some of your free capital? Is it all going back into the business? Or what is your wealth building approach and plan look like beyond the business, if anything, right now?
The biggest thing right now is just more ad spend. Second thing is buying businesses. I buy a lot of like detailing, mobile detailing, home cleaning.
Nice.
And also I have a couple of like food trucks that I buy. I know it's interesting, but like they have massive margins. Little do people realize. And those things that I have, like I own a couple of car washes. So all those businesses combined, the whole purpose of me owning them is to pay for my lifestyle, like things that I want to spend money on. So like all my cars and like rent, it's all free because I use the business as the cash flow. And then my real business is like the cash giant.
Yep.
So I just wanted to use that to supplement things that I do. Also, I can just sell data across them and then eventually exit them because I'm putting better systems in them. So like it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 EBITDA if I want to like go and build those out and sell those.
Yep.
And also, dude, it's just like more zone of genius. Like I'm good at building things from zero up with good offers. So I might as well do it in weird niches.
Yeah. I love that you talked about that, especially nowadays, man. There's just so many stale old models and businesses that with new age marketing, new age systems, new age thinking, you know, younger minds are very innovative and we're quick to pivot, adapt, take action. So I love that you're doing that. Reminds me of my friend Cody Sanchez and a lot of the stuff that she's been doing for years. And, you know, we've collaborated on. Sounds like you got some good stuff in there as well. So Jason Wojo, appreciate you coming on the show today, man.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you take 2 minutes and leave a review in iTunes, where by doing so, you're also going to get entered in to win a $100 gift card. Don't forget to share this episode out with somebody else that may need to hear it or may get some value from what was talked about in today's interview. And for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey, you want to unlock more financial freedom, you want to get more time back, or maybe you just want to level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to MillionaireMindcast.com and check out all the amazing products and resources that we have for our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, mastermind events, downloads and checklists, the Rich Life Planner for those of you looking to take your goal setting and productivity to the next level. We've got all kinds of great, valuable tools. So be sure to check those out at MillionaireMindcast.com. And last but not least, if you're not on my weekly text letter and you want to be the first to know of exclusive updates and offers, in addition to behind the scenes access to a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, that I'm investing in, be sure to join by texting the word notes to 844-447-1555. With that being said, thanks for listening today. Until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.